and welcome to the best thing from podcast. I'm Kev, and over there, or there, I don't know which place he's going to put them, we've got Sheepdog, and it is Chris. Say hello, gentlemen.
Hello, gentlemen.
Hello, gentlemen. Hello.
Obviously, if you're listening on the audio, just know that one of them is to my left, one of them is to my right, but every now and again they swap. That's how the video looks anyway. Don't know why he does that. It's a weird thing for you to have introduced, Chris, but they're constantly swapping and moving around faces that you're doing right now is really weird.
It's what it's supposed to do. You're supposed to have to focus on the one person that's talking.
I think when someone's driving their car and it's just the podcast they're listening to, you need to make sure that we come out of different microphones at different points, like we've just burrowed under the seats and come out in the corner of the car or something.
That's what you did the one time I let you edit our other podcast, when it came out with different people in different ears, because you didn't know how to not do that.
Well, oh, it gives you an option. Do you want
to
do
it that way? You can't make that a thing that people are supposed to do just because you don't know how to stop it from happening.
Yeah, everyone who listened to that podcast with one headphone got only one side of the podcast that week. It was silly.
Which is why Sheepdog's not allowed to edit anymore. It's one of the reasons you exist. It's certainly in the best thing from form, Mr. Topher, because we can't trust Sheepdog with it. And obviously, I'm not going to edit a podcast. What do you think this is? 2009? Goodness me.
You should edit some podcasts, I think, every once in a while.
I absolutely refuse. I would rather not do them than have
you
to edit them.
60 minutes of only Kev talking and everybody else edited out. That's what he's going to do.
Exactly. So this is the best thing from Milton Keynes, by the way. Ooh. Officially the culmination and main event of Milton Keynes week, because this is the first time we have gone through on the new format of doing best thing from on the channel. So we've had our weird little cow video on Monday that, as we're recording this, has just come out. It's such a weird video, the weird little cow video. But we'll have also have had the video where we went to Bletchley Park and got banned from the Chauffeurs Association. So that one came out, I think, on Wednesday. These are all videos you should have watched by now. I'm expecting you to be ticking these off because you should have watched these at this point. Then on Friday, I think you will have had the, I keep wanting to call it snowboarding, but we're not that cool. We rode sledges down a hill.
There were snowboards there.
Yeah, we were in the same place as snowboards briefly, and one of us kept falling over, and we won't discuss which one. And then, of course, yesterday you had the main, well, this is the main event. You had the semi-main, which is the full normal best thing from video that you normally get. So it's all changed, all different. Let me know down in the comments to any of those videos or this video, wherever you like, what you think of the new way of doing things. You've got it this way for at least one more month, because next month is already recorded. We actually recorded next month's before this month's, but didn't record an intro. So had to release them the opposite way around.
Was that the reason? I just thought you...
We kind of planned it to do it that way, because when I was planning... Because next month we're doing Cambridge. So next month's best thing from week will be Cambridge. And when I was planning the two trips, there was a lot more to do in Cambridge than there was in Milton Keynes. So I thought, well, if we're going to have to waste a video somewhere, just recording a video explaining the new way of doing things, the best place to waste some time is Milton Keynes. Plus, it gave us an excuse to stand in front of the concrete cows, which there would have been no other reason to go to those cows, because they are just in the middle of a housing estate. There's no parking. There's nothing else nearby. It's not something you can just kind of be in the middle of doing a different video and be like, oh, and by the way, the concrete cows are just over there. They're 20 minutes out of the way of absolutely everything. Couldn't be a video on their own, because there's really not a lot to them. But at the same time, we couldn't go to Milton Keynes and not go to the concrete cow. So it all just it fit together perfectly.
Those cows were a surprising landmark to get, like, recommended or have anywhere. Because, I mean, A, they are just, like you say, side of the road cows. But B, when we tried to pull up near them and it was all main roads and, like, motorways pretty much, like busy roads, not motorways, but, like, proper roads people were driving down. And We ended up getting out the sat nav. I was on Pokemon Go trying to navigate via that because I could see all the routes you're allowed
to walk.
Which
is the most infuriating way for anyone to navigate. It's how he insists on doing it, because it's better to navigate with Pokemon Go.
Because it gives me the landmarks, and the cows were a gym. So I was like, well, we know the route to walk to that gym now. Whereas if I had the sat nav up, it was just loads of roads. I did try both and it was a mess. But when we pulled up on some random dead end of a gate, didn't we? And we ended up following a route that led us to a dead end outside someone's business, and we were like, okay, this isn't it. And then we realised the little route some old lady was walking when we pulled up. We went that route and we found it, didn't we? But it was just...
And this was early Sunday morning as well. Yeah. I think that's important to note. We were driving aimlessly around residential areas of Milton Keynes before 9 a.m. on a Sunday morning. So nothing was open either. It's because there was a kind of a little shopping / takeaway / like industrial area right next to the concrete cows. There was a KFC, I think. I remember there being a KFC, but we couldn't go there because nothing was open. Yeah, it was ridiculous.
Everywhere we went, there was a railway line that we couldn't cross. We were just like, we gave up. We actually had given up. And then I said to Kevin,
I imagine Topher is putting a map of the concrete cows over our faces now for people watching on the video to show how you go from the shops and then you've got a train line blocking your route from where all the parking is, so you can't just walk across to the cows. So we ended up then having to drive back up the dual carriageway, loop back around, and yeah, as Sheepdog says, just abandon the car and then walk by a canal under a bridge, scare an old lady, found a lost dog, and eventually ran across a road we probably weren't supposed to cross and ended up at the concrete cows, which when we got there were fenced off and painted, just whitewashed. They were closed for renovation. I don't know how long they've been like that. Maybe if there's any Milton Keynes locals, they can educate us. We went an hour out of our way, all told, when you count the car trips to and from and the effort it took us to find somewhere to park and then to walk across there. This was an hour of an already busy day to find cows that we couldn't go near and didn't look like cows because they'd just been painted completely white and then fenced off. And I can only assume by now they're back looking normal again, unless they're just never going to look normal again, because I can't imagine it takes very long to put the black splodges back on.
Considering you only see them when you're driving by at like 60 mile an hour, why are they bothering? Why are they repainting them?
Well, if they've been there since the 70s, maybe they've never been painted before. Maybe. I don't really know.
Like, leave them cow-coloured and then paint... Because there was one in one of the places you went to, and I'm sure there are others around the town. Why not paint the ones that you actually walk past and can stand near and poke and stuff? Leave these ones cow-coloured or green or whatever they want to do.
Maybe they'd been defaced. Maybe. That would be the logical reason for having to paint them.
I was there to deface them, but you wouldn't let me lift the fence.
But there was a sign specifically saying, please, Sheepdog, don't deface the cows that you just ignored because you're a monster.
I've ignored that sign enough times in life. Like, that's never stopped me in the past.
The cows, I mean, we got to see them. Yay. I have since done a little bit of research on the cows. I don't even know that these are the right cows.
Oh, brilliant.
Because there's cows that are in a museum somewhere. And I figure that the museum cows are probably the right cows.
We didn't go to a museum, did we? That's quite unusual for us. We've gone to a museum.
We went to Bletchley Park. That's a museum.
I suppose. A museum of code and bombs and...
Yeah, we went to an interesting museum. Yeah. I think we did say in one of the videos at some point that it was the Milton Keynes trip as a whole is unique and probably going to be unique for the series as a whole as being a best thing from trip where we don't actually set foot in the centre of the city at any point.
That was weird because I've been to the centre of Milton Keynes and I only thought about it on the way home that we didn't really visit the bits I've been to. We also didn't visit the IKEA or the Asda or anything like that. I know they're general, but they're massive and they're quite landmarky.
Well, it's the biggest Asda in the country.
Because they're all in the same block, aren't they?
Yeah, with the stadium, MK is there as well, and the big arena that me and Topher wandered around in earlier in the year when we went to a football match in Milton Keynes. Because I've been to Milton Keynes multiple times this year. Me and Topher went on a little trip there, did a match day vlog from Milton Keynes, had a wander around the, what was it? Is it the Yamaha Arena?
Marshall Arena.
Yeah, some kind of speaker thing. Yeah. The Marshall Arena.
He took a stab.
Swinging a miss on that one, mate, if I'm being honest.
Same thing. What do I know? I'm just a ukulele player. I don't need an amp.
Of course.
It's the IKEA and the Asda and everything is over there. And that was enough for me. I didn't need to head back over that way.
You've seen them.
Because I'd already done it.
I want to comment on the dog that we didn't rescue, that we saw running around. There was a dog. So there was a load of signs for a missing dog. And then suddenly there was a dog running around on its own. And Kev was like, do you reckon that's the dog that's missing? And I was like, well, it does look like it's the same breed. And then we were just like, and then I sort of whistled. I was like, woohoo. And then we had a bloke kind of go, oi, come back. We were like, ah, it's probably his dog. So we just carried on walking. I don't know whether he's still looking for it, still roaming. If anyone in the area of the cows in Milton Keynes knows the dog we're talking about, if it's still missing, blame Kev, basically. Because we were like, let's get back to the car. We've got stuff to
do. Yeah, I don't know that I want to actively promote the fact that if you live there and your dog's still missing, we could have brought it to you that day, but chose not to.
Well, we definitely chose not to, though. There was a decision made. We were just like, yeah. When that bloke shouted out, we were like, okay, he's probably got this under control. There was an old lady speed walking as well, wasn't there? And I thought, well, she's probably already going quicker than we're going to get up to. By the time we get near that dog, she's going to be much faster than we are. She was accelerating.
I don't know that we are equipped for catching a stray dog. Or an escaped dog, or what's the term? It's probably not. Is it stray?
A runaway, maybe.
Yeah, a loose dog, a wild animal.
That's a
wild animal.
Maybe a stretch on that.
Wild rabid beast.
No, but I'm more like, you know, I'm like a Disney princess. Animals just come to me naturally. So I could have, if I'd have engaged the power, it might have just come to me.
For the thousandth time, it's not animals coming to you naturally. It's seagulls chasing you when you have chips. It is very different. And that is not like being a Disney princess.
I get them in my house doing, you know, housework. They tidy up for me. One came down my chimney and dusted it all out and flew around my living room for a bit.
I don't know how that. I'm going to need video evidence of this. But yeah, eventually, because we did all this on a Sunday. So this all happened before Milton Keynes was properly awake. We were outside Bletchley Park as they opened. Bletchley Park, if you're not familiar, is. It's the reason we're all free today.
It is.
That's what I learned. That's what I learned while I was there. I didn't learn any more than that, so Sheepdog's going to have to summarise the rest. I lost interest after that opening bit. I was like, well, I've got enough information now. I don't need to know why it means we're free.
That man who was there who said, I'm the reason that you're free today, and made us all shake his hand and give him a high five and stuff. That was weird. For an army base, they were very welcoming. They were just like, we drove up and I thought they were going to act like we had to be all official. And he was just like, oh, welcome to Bletchley Park. Park over there. Welcome.
I mean, it is a visitor centre. We weren't joining the army.
No, I know, but... As I said to you at the time, I don't know why the man was really there, because all he did was point us at the sign that told us where the car park was. So in we went. And basically,
I think they're very excited still about the fact it's still quite shiny and new.
Yeah.
I think they just want to keep it nice. And that's probably why the man's out there pointing you towards the only car park. So I'm parked there. Well, yeah, obviously, I was going to park there because it's the only car park you've got, but thanks for pointing, sir.
It stopped us parking in the lake, I suppose, which some of us might have had that mistake if we'd been, you know, travelling via Pokemon Go instead of sat-nav. But, yeah, when we got in there, it was basically where all of the people who code broke in the war lived. They all stayed on site there. There was loads of cool stuff because, I mean, well, to be fair, when we first arrived, we got locked in a cinema. And I say locked in, we couldn't find the exit. And we kept trying doors. And then I was like, do you reckon that big open bit over there that says exit this way is probably the way? And we realised we could have just gone back the way we'd come.
Yeah, I was going to say, the big exit, the big door, a.k.a. the one we walked in to get in there.
But in that bit, they talked about how, like, the war was bumbling along and, you know, the Germans were turning up at places and we didn't have any way of really tracking them or what they were doing. And then somebody realised, you know, if we could crack this code, we could figure it out. And there's a whole film about it with Cumberbatch in it there. He talks about it.
The man invented the iPhone and then something else about text messages and emails. I was on the details, but the general gist is I think Steve Jobs was there.
They gave us quite a cool number of games to play. Like you could go in a room and make decisions based on running the army camp, and it'd be like most of them I got right. So some of them it was like, it's dirty, we need more cleaners, should we get more cleaners or just make the ones we've got do more and make everybody be a bit tidier? And I was like, well, it's a war, you don't want to invite more cleaners in case more people spill more secrets and ruin the whole thing for everyone. And that was correct. But then it had like...
It's how we run the Lujo Enterprises.
Exactly.
Don't want to bring more cleaners in.
But then it had questions like, Mr. Smith is entitled to a premium carpet in his office and he hasn't got one. Should we give him a new carpet? And I was like, no, there's a war on. And they were like, people's morale is important. Mr. Smith is an important man. give him his carpet. And I'm like, balls to him.
Again, this is how we run the Lujo Enterprises.
Very, as yeah,
I've got a nice carpet. Topher can do all the Topher jobs.
Yes.
That Mr. Smith was lucky that I wasn't asked previously to bring a guillotine onto the park, because there would have been one if he'd been asking questions like that during the war. But that was fun, just going around this giant table with all the map of the park on it, and it was just, you could click it and it would ask you a question.
This was all properly interactive display stuff. This isn't a man shouting questions at sheepdog. This is all very high-tech stuff. Yeah, very high-tech, interactive, touchscreen, massive screens. You can tell this is a very recent
tourist attraction because they've
spent some money on it, and I hope they continue to spend money to keep it nicely maintained. So it was quite nice walking around somewhere that wasn't just a stuffy, old, dusty, smelly old building like most of these museums we go in are.
They had like a thing you could do where you were supposed to read codes and tell them where submarines were going to be so you could blow them up, and I couldn't get that working. There was costumes you could try on, which we bottled a bit. We sort of looked at them. We had a long debate about how I was convinced everybody from that era looks like they're from the past, whereas Kev reckons if they just had a modern haircut, they'd look normal, modern. We disagree on that, I think.
I'm right, you're wrong.
Kev's right on that one.
The reason you think they look like old people is because they're wearing old people clothes, they have old people hair, and there's sepia tone all over the photograph.
Yeah, I think the black and white's a bit of a giveaway.
If you put them in a really stylish Hawkeye baseball cap and gave them a modern haircut and a beard, then they're going to look like me.
Stylish, maybe. Not so much, but I agree with the rest.
At least I bothered to wear a hat this time, Topher.
We made it very clear
that caps are podcast uniform, and you've brazenly turned up without one.
I can't put one in post now, aren't you?
Well, yeah, he'll edit one in all the way through, presumably.
Frame by frame.
I'm still blown away that they called their machine that did all the decoding, was it called the bomb? Something like that.
That was one of the other machines. The actual decoding machine was the Enigma thing, wasn't it?
They had the bomb machine as well.
It
was like a little fancy.
It was like a typewriter.
Yeah, like it had all these gears and stuff. Bomb was like an electric one.
It's bomb with an E on the end, though, silent E.
Yeah, but maybe
it was called the Bombi. Maybe we just assumed it was pronounced bomb.
Because I kept saying, like, you think you'd have given it a different name, like, you know, Rick, bring out the bomb. Let's go work on the bomb.
Fetch the Bombi. The bomb. No, the Bombi. We want the Bombi.
See, confusion. If you'd have been like, turn the bomb on and then the place blows up, you'd be like, just follow the instructions. Yeah, that's an autistic person. I would have been a nightmare in there. I'd have been blowing that place up left and right. Or I'd have been at the missile place firing off decoding machines. It's just confusion for everyone. But what else did we see in there?
We saw the National History of Radio Room, I think was the full title of it.
Something like that.
I had a man explaining us how to do podcasts in the past. And we were like, oh, so this is a microphone. Oh, very good.
I felt really odd because he asked us if we were into this sort of stuff. And we were like, oh, we were doing like a YouTube thing. And he was like, oh, are you into recording stuff? And we were both just like, didn't bother daring mentioning to him that we were podcasters or anything. And he was like, oh, you know, we dial into different countries and then tick them off on the list to say, I've spoken to Antarctica and I've spoken to Africa and all stuff like that. And again, I'm sat there thinking, I used to do that with a thing on our website, being like, oh, someone in Iceland listened to Best Thing From, and all of this. But
I have this quirky way of doing it where instead of doing it like a dweeb, I just go to the countries, which is my little twist on it that I like to do.
We're not all loaded like you in this position, Kev. We can't all do that.
Well, perhaps you should wear a hat and then you'll be able to.
There you go.
I haven't, unfortunately.
Yeah, old hatless there hasn't. So what are we spotting there with the correlation? He says we're not all loaded. Just hold up what's in your hand there, Mr. Brand Name Pop. You absolute monster. Look at him spending all his money on brand name beverages.
I had to pour money into a glass because I didn't want to...
I haven't even got a drink. So this is where your money's going, Topher. Wasted.
Yeah, my wages this week went on Coke. Yeah, this kind. Okay, I can see how this is coming across.
No, we've already clipped that this time. That is going on my soundboard.
Did you pick up on it? I can't remember whether you were listening. Probably not at the time.
Almost certainly not.
In the radio room, there was like this thing where you could like press a button to tune something in. And on the next thing, you had to turn another few dials and do stuff. And then you had to keep twisting and turning things. There was like seven of them in a row. And I just thought they were different machines through the ages. I hadn't read any of it. I was just doing the task with no instructions. Just like, oh, that light's come on. It must be right. Picked up the microphone and just went like sheepdog down it. And then as I went through it all, when I got to the last one, I pressed this button and it was like, and now your message has been broadcast throughout the world. And I just broadcasted me going sheepdog into a microphone. And I didn't know that's what I was doing. I just thought I was tuning machines and following like different historic ways of
so there's dweebs around the world who've now kicked you off on their little list.
We've listened to a sheepdog. We're good now. We're good.
I'm pretty sure I did a best thing from intro in one of them as well because I said a few things into it. So yeah,
what business did you have doing a best thing from intro?
More people will have heard. Less people would have heard that. Let's face it. There's probably only four people with that machine. But yeah, we learned I don't read instructions this weekend, didn't we?
I don't know that we learned it this weekend. Well, we saw another example of it this weekend.
Yeah, definitely. But I can't think.
They also had waffles in there.
They did, didn't they? We chickened out.
And then the shed that we didn't go in, the chauffeur's room, chauffeur's club. Yeah, what was it called?
They're having some sort of chauffeurs anonymous meeting in there.
But it's a whole building specifically for chauffeurs, and we don't know if this is an army thing or war thing. Just it could just be where the bus drivers go
maybe
when the school trips are going on.
Most likely.
Either way, we wandered towards it, and a man, as we walked towards it, looked out the door and then just shut it on us. And then every now and again he'd peep around. We were stood at the end of the little driveway outside it, filming, and he just kept peeping around. We didn't go in, we were afraid of him. Yeah. I don't think chauffeurs like us.
I jokingly said to Kev, I don't want to go in anyway, and turned and spat. Like, it was fake spat, I didn't actually spit. But I was like, phew. But he looked at me, I said, did it? So he looked like I was elevating the fight. I didn't think it through. I was doing a gag for Kev. It wasn't even on camera. I was just being, oh, you want to go in there, phew. And then realised the chauffeur saw me do it and thought I was doing it at him, so we left. We didn't go in the mansion either, did we? I don't know if it was open while we were there.
Well, I think the mansion was just a tea room.
All right.
I didn't really want tea. No, I was more interested in the bubble waffles they had in the van outside that we didn't have.
We did
pretended
in, cafe,
in the video that we did have.
Did we go in the cafe?
Oh, we went before we started. We had a sausage roll that right. This troubled me.
Oh, okay,
this,
here we go.
This was an issue because firstly, I asked for a sausage roll and she didn't ask if I wanted it hot or cold. She just put it in the microwave. Now, I don't like microwave sausage rolls at the best of times because you just get soggy pastry. Mm. I don't mind a cold sausage roll. Cold sausage rolls are absolutely fine. But she put it in the microwave, so the pastry got nice and wet on the outside. Mm-hmm. And then when I sat down and bit into it, the sausage in the middle was still close to frozen.
Oh, no.
So I had the best of both worlds. Soggy, warm pastry and icy cold sausage. It was... I mean, and that was £3. So that was nice.
I think I had some sort of cheesecake thing, which is absolutely amazing. I can't remember what flavour it was, but I remember thinking this is one of the best cheesecakes I've ever eaten. So
and you had a wet, cold sausage.
Yeah. I was in heaven while Kev was in hell.
Yeah. But they did have water refill points all the way around, so I got my own back by refilling my water once. Okay. So I think we're probably even on that score. When they put the refill points in, I bet they weren't expecting me to fill the entire bottle. Where is it? This bottle.
He didn't even drink it. He's kept the water.
Took all this water. Look, I filled this thing up with water. They weren't ready for me. One all. Magic stuff. Did we get... Oh, the gift shop. Oh, the gift shop at Bletchley Park. The best gift shop we've ever been to.
Yeah,
what a gift shop. I was going to buy fake military papers in there, which if I ever get caught in a Nicholas Lyndhurst situation and need papers, I'll have them with me then, and I'll be fine.
Mm. So, I got like a toy submarine for the boys. I got a ball in a cup that we've been playing with around the house every now and again. I can never get it consistently right, which is annoying. I want to be able to just be able to whip it in whenever I want. I got them a few things. There was like three or four presents I got for the lads, which I don't normally buy that many things when we're out on trips.
But it was a great gift shop.
Yeah, it was excellent. And it was it had
the guidebook of how to act in 1942 France as a British serviceman, but also they had the how to act in France in 1942 as an American serviceman. And these were two different books. And I was very tempted to buy them both and see what the differing expectations were.
Do you reckon you could have realistically gone to France today and convinced them that you were a British serviceman and then just flip. And they're like, oh my God, he was American all along. Because you started following the other
things.
I think so, yeah.
I think if I'd have turned up, because I went to France like less than a week after we did this trip, I reckon if I'd have turned up with my Nicholas Lyndhurst papers and my guidebook to being in France in 1942 and just acted really confused when I was there, I think I could have convinced them I was from the past.
Maybe.
That Nicholas Lyndhurst reference is a niche one.
No, Goodnight Sweetheart wasn't that big, surely.
Goodnight Sweetheart was one of the most popular sitcoms on British television of all time.
Yeah, 100%. What? 100%.
Yeah. No, it was... Well, I remember watching it a few times, but it wasn't that popular, surely.
It was huge.
You know nothing, yeah. Topher. You have really gone down in my estimation there to the point where I might have to fire you.
You've let yourself down big time.
Oh, you can't find me on the podcast. You find me every stream.
Yet you keep coming back.
I feel like anyone listening who hasn't heard of Goodnight Sweetheart, just check it out on YouTube after you've seen all the other
stuff.
There's
a good chance anyone under the age of 30 and anyone not from the UK probably doesn't know what we're talking about. And I was quite happy just leaving it hanging there and not giving them any more information. You've now given them the name of the show. And you've ruined it, you monster. I think the onus is on them to find out what I mean if they don't understand what I'm saying. I'd like to think people listen to all of my content and are just regularly Googling my references to find out what I'm going on about.
Yeah, it's my job to go and search for the references all the time and put them in videos.
Yeah, I mean, you could get a picture of Nicholas Lyndhurst in right Goodnight Sweetheart. Yeah, go for it.
There's the picture for you.
How far can we push him? A picture of me dressed as Nicholas Lyndhurst playing the piano.
This is where I'm going to have to get Daryl on this one. I'm not doing any more than that.
Is it worth it for the 400 people who'll be watching this as a video version of the podcast rather than listening to it on audio? There you go. You know how much we spoil you because we've got Daryl out of bed for this.
Kev, would you go back to the wartime woman and live with her even though the war's on, or would you stay in the present with his other wife?
If I am specifically in a Nicholas Lyndhurst situation, his present day wife was miserable. So I'd absolutely go back to wartime. Yeah.
Take note of when the bombs drop and any of the threats, and you're all right, really, aren't you? If you go to her, look, darling, we need to travel 4 miles on Tuesday just for a little bit, have an afternoon, bring everyone you love, and we'll just, we'll come back.
Plus, it's like that thing that's going around on, is it on Twitter at the moment, on TikTok, various places? Do you want £1 million or do you want to go back to the age of six with all the knowledge you currently have? Well, obviously, you go back to the age of six with all of your current knowledge because you make way more than £1 million doing that. And you've gone back a little bit further. You've already done the making up all the modern music bit in the show.
Yeah.
But you just have to remember a few key dates, like put a few quid on there being a moon landing. If you're in 1945 and you're like, I tell you what, within 20 years, there's going to be a man walking on the moon. You could get some spectacular odds from that in 1945, I'm sure.
You could probably fund it with the amount of money you'd make on that, to be fair.
You'd lose the money because I'm pretty sure it was 1969, wasn't it?
All right, nerd. I didn't read the information, did I?
I ignored that subtle little
mistake. No, I'm not letting that one go.
I didn't even know nor care when people went to the moon. I was using an example.
The thing is, Chris, I was thinking if I'm ever stuck in the past of Kev, because we travel a lot, you never know when we might slip through a portal. I'd have had him. I could have bet him. I could have made a fortune off of him. 5 years later.
You would have been kicked out of the past because you don't have papers.
So, I reckon I could forge them. I know how to forge stuff.
I'm not showing you mine.
No, I once edited my, I made a copy of my birth certificate and just changed a 5 to a 3 and got into clubs with it for years. Like, not years, 2 years. It's like a 16-year-old.
for 2 days, because it was the day of the month he changed. He wanted to go in really early.
I can't believe that worked. For the rest of my life, I can't believe that they just looked at that and were like, yeah, he's got a birth certificate with the right year on it. Great. They probably just assumed no one would go to that much hassle to...
Who is taking their birth certificate to a club
I put it in my wallet all like folded up and I was just like, yeah, I've got a copy of my birth certificate on me because I don't have ID, and they'd be like, yeah, go on, mate, whatever.
One club accepted my... Because my passport was out of date, so I couldn't use it. I brought a birth certificate and then somehow managed to get in. It was worth a try. So, yeah, it does work. I mean, this
probably
was...
Just think this loser needs a drink.
It was nearly 20 years ago now, but yes. Yeah. It did work then.
I don't think Bletchley Park had anything else that we missed other than that big fountain, did it? Going back onto the topic.
No. I mean, and I have officially got two annual passes. So, because your entry ticket does get you an annual pass. So at some point I might take Anna back just to show her how enraged I am about this sausage roll situation and get around the gift shop. We probably won't leave the main area. We'll just go and have a sausage roll. She'll get cross too. And then we'll go to the gift shop and I'll get her sorted with some papers. Because again, can't be too safe. Got to have the papers.
Just in case, yeah. Buy some old money. There was that statistic room as well, which I think shifts every time. Like, there's different things in the room each month or something. But when we were there, it was telling us about like the population of the world and the density of towns and ways people mess around with statistics.
The data one, wasn't it? I saw that, the little visual representation stuff. It looked really cool. I've never been there and I really want to go one day.
I read those bits more than probably most other bits. It was just interesting. It was geeky and fun. How long did we spend in there in total? It was a few hours.
A couple of hours.
Normally we're out the door after like quite a quick visit round. We scoot round, look at everything, film what we can, see the cliff notes, and this time we actually went around and were like, is there anything else we need to do? And we'd done it all and we were like, okay, cool, we're
it ready. Was good. I mean, it was a combination of that place being good and us knowing there wasn't a lot else to Milton Keynes, so there wasn't many other places to go. But we did head from there to Xscape, which is, I'm just gonna say it, if I had to go on holiday to one of the places we visited in Best Thing From so far up until this point, all the places we've been to, and the one I'm most likely to go and spend a week in, probably Xscape in Milton Keynes, because it was brilliant. There's a Premier Inn outside, there's a big car park, and then there's lots of activities to do inside. I could do a different thing every day. They've got a cinema, they've got a bowling alley, they've got the snow thing, they've got the skydiving thing, they've got adventure golf, they've got an escape room, they've got multiple different restaurants. This is where I took Smoothman's Five Guys virginity, which I kept telling Sheepdog about.
You would not stop talking about his Five Guys virginity. I was like, mate, that's not appropriate.
I popped Smoothman's Five Guys cherry at Xscape in Milton Keynes many years ago.
Now Smoothman's going to have a pop now, because obviously he's not been mentioned in the podcast. So now we have to tell him.
Exactly. He'll love that. And he'll remember it as well, because we went to watch the wrestling in a sweaty old warehouse in Milton Keynes, and then I popped his... Ow! I've just stabbed myself with a badge. And then I popped his Five Guys cherry. I've made myself bleed here. Oh, this is a terrible... Blame Norwich City for that. It's a Norwich City pin I've just stabbed myself in the thumb with.
So there you go. That hurts. Reason to watch the video podcast. There you go.
Xscape were bizarrely uptight about us filming in there, weren't they? Like,
I mean, they were no different to any other shopping centre, really. Any shopping centres are just weird about that. What I thought was surprising was how quickly they relaxed the rules, because we went in there filming, just wandering around, pointing a camera at everything. Guy came over and said, just to let you know, you're not allowed to film in here without permission. Can I ask what you're doing? And I said, well, we're going to the snowboarding place in a minute. We're going to be filming in there, so I was just filming out here as well. And he looked at the other security guard and said, "It's all right." Yeah, go ahead. It's like, oh, so that's us getting permission, is it? We just need the security guard to say, yeah, that's fine.
Just need the papers.
Bear in mind, his question was, "Why are you filming?" My answer was, because I'm filming.
Accepted it. It was funny how they just, they were like, oh,
And then it didn't occur to me you were filming. Please carry on filming.
I feel like we pushed our luck, because we went outside then and Kev filmed B-roll through to show it off, and then realised he'd done it wrong.
I'm sure you loved watching that, because I send him every clip. I'm not editing anything out before I send it to him. So he's got a whole thing of me just wondering around with the camera pointing at my face, but I'm doing this. I'm trying to show stuff, and it's just my face, and I'm not acting like I'm on camera, because I don't think I am. And then we got there, and it's like, oh, I filmed my face the whole way. So we came around, went back out, and redid the whole thing with the camera pointing in the right direction.
But the guard was right there, wasn't he? He's like just hovering around while we did it. And I'm thinking, he's just going to think we're absolutely taking a mickey, just doing this on purpose. Like, there's no way people needed that many shots of the entrance, but from his point of view, we'd done it
from both different angles multiple times, always making sure that the snow place was kind of in the background, just in in case he stopped us again. Because at this point, we kind of had a plan to do two videos while we were there. We were going to do a video specifically about the snow place and then a video about Xscape as a whole place and maybe do a little bit more detail on some of the other shops and stuff. But it was basically that security guard spooked us a little bit. And I didn't want to wander around the arcade that had life-size hungry hippos filming in there. Cool. Yeah, but I mean, we might have caught a glimpse of it as we went past that I'm going to make Topher go and hunt for. But yeah, we didn't really feel comfortable going and filming it. A, because it was full of kids, and B, because by that point we had already been told off. So I think we got away with filming in the main areas because it was part of the snowboarding video we were making. But I don't know that we'd have got away with filming Sheepdog collecting tickets at a ticket arcade, being like, yeah, but this is so that you can afford to buy a snowboard.
They were expensive, weren't they? I had no idea how much money all that was.
There was a sale section at the front of the Snow Place shop. What is it? Snow Zone. I keep calling it the Snow Place. The Snow Zone place, much better, had a shop outside it, and they had a sale rack, and a pair of ski boots in the sale was like 350 quid. I am not planning on taking up skiing or snowboarding anytime soon.
No,
it seems like a very expensive enterprise, even more expensive than buying cameras, which is saying something because cameras are very expensive.
I feel like We got there early, didn't we? So we were wandering around all that stuff. If we'd have been the sort of people who went and sat in, like there was some places to, well, there was coffee places there, but there was also like pubby places there when it was early Sunday. We could have got our nails done, you know, if we wanted to. We got pedicure.
Could have had our eyebrows threaded.
Yeah, eyebrows. You did ask if I wanted to get mine threaded for the video, but then bottled it when I said yes.
I didn't really want to pay for it. I just wanted to make you look like a coward.
I feel like it had, like you say, pretty much everything to stay there. I don't know. You're saying out of all the places you've been to, you'd have a holiday there over like Barcelona. And
absolutely, yeah.
I don't know. I mean, yeah, maybe I'd be the same.
What is there to do in Barcelona that we haven't already done?
Yeah, no, you're right.
Well, we've barely scratched the surface on Xscape.
Well, I mean,
there's a beach. There isn't a beach at Xscape.
I've been to the beach before,
a nice hot beach. A nice scenic area is what I'm trying to say.
I would.
And then you've got Weatherspoons. In Xscape, which is
I wouldn't go to the Weatherspoons. Not a fan of Weatherspoons.
They're the dessert place though, which looked pretty good, didn't they?
It did. Right next to the snow place, there was an ice cream place, which I thought was excellent positioning.
They also had like an Indian takeaway that did breakfasts, and I'm really intrigued as to what.
And they had a 16 screen cinema, so that's like two movies a day. Mm. So yeah, Barcelona doesn't have that. Probably.
I
bet it's all in Spanish. Yeah. So what use is that to anybody?
I bet there's a skydiving place in Spain.
Do I look Spanish to you? Goodness me.
I bet you could do skydiving in Spain if you really wanted to.
Yeah, but not pretend skydiving where there's no chance of being injured. Not that we can do that here, because that was actually my first choice of activity that I was going to book for us to do while we were in Milton Keynes. Unfortunately, there is a weight limit. There's both a weight limit and you can't have ever had any back, neck, shoulder or heart issues. And I'm like, well, I've had multiple slip discs. Sheepdog is known for his neck and heart issues. And I think the maximum weight was like 16 stone or something like that.
The weight would have been the only thing that would have done me there, although I am seeing a physio about my neck at the moment, although it's actually...
That's a neck injury then, Sheepdog.
It's not an injury. It was more of a, I wanted to get it checked because it felt a bit janky, but it's all right.
It keeps getting longer, like an emu.
Well, my kid, Keisha, we don't have a neck. Ollie says I don't have a neck, so I can't get neck injuries if I haven't got a neck. Although
that is true.
When I looked after him in hospital, he did say he was so grateful of my help, he was going to upgrade me to having a small neck rather than no neck. So, I've got that being physio. I'm hoping he'll massage it and suddenly it'll pop and I'll suddenly have like a full-on adult neck. Not giraffe level, but like, you know, just long enough. So I could get those taller trees. I don't have a neck. I'm tired of being a little man without a neck. It's not good.
What are you talking about? that's why we didn't go skydiving anyway. And, I mean, skydiving is quite a generous thing to call it because it's basically a massive fan on the floor, which I'd be quite afraid of falling onto it and being chopped up into very small pieces.
I've seen enough horror films to know that would happen.
Exactly. Because what the worry would be, I'm there enjoying my skydiving, power cut, but only a really quick one. It's a power cut quick enough for me to fall, but they hit the power back on again as I hit the bottom and get all of my protruding parts lopped off in the spinning. And I had a dream about that the night before we went. God. So that's one of the other reasons why we didn't go.
Almost a premonition.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like they had go-karting there, but I don't think they did. I think I've made that up.
I think you have, but we can't have been far from go-karts.
I mean, they had a big car park, so it's basically the same.
I think they've got go-karting near it because a lot of the F1 teams are based around there, so I assume they've got something like that nearby.
I want to see axe.
Yes, I know you're yawning, it's fine.
If they've had like axe throwing, karaoke, I don't know, stuff like
they
that.
They need a boom bar, is what you're saying. Yeah. They need a boom bar in there.
Yeah,
that would be ideal. I mean, we're upgrading Xscape now, but I still maintain I would go and have a week there. I'd take Anna for a week in Milton Keynes.
I'm thinking,
and we'd have a lovely time.
Let's get some investors and build Yscape on one of the big fields near my house. Just make it one better. Although you have to go Zscape just to make sure that no one else could come in and do a better one.
Possibly.
People would just call that Escape. Escape.
Well, no one knows what to call this one. Escape.
Apparently there's one of these in the north as well.
Leeds or
what do they call that one? Like
Leeds or Doncaster or something like that.
I think they also call it Escape.
I
don't think there's 25 of them and this is just the 25th one of the bill.
I mean, that's bad planning, isn't it? Like, you think you've given yourself a whole alphabet of possibilities. Escape, Escape would have been fine. That'd have been the premium one in London, I guess. Bscape.
No, it's one in Yorkshire, apparently.
Yeah, like I said, the north.
Castleford, Leeds. Yeah.
So we'll probably be going to an Xscape again when we do the north. I don't know if the north is a city or not.
North is one city, is that what you're...
Yeah. I don't know if they've got a city up there, to be honest, Chris. I can't imagine they do.
Infrastructure for that, don't you?
Stuff. Don't really... You keep saying words that don't really mean a lot to me. Don't really know what these things are that you're saying. But yeah, if they do have any cities up in the north, we will take one trip up to the north and we might see Escape while we're up there.
Union there.
Yeah, but then after mooching around, just enjoying the ambience of the UK's greatest tourist attraction for a little bit, we then did have our appointed slot in Snow Zone for the cheapest activity they do. No expense spared. I looked for the cheapest activity they have.
I mean, that was
which
fair
was,
for us, though. Like we,
yeah. Oh, yeah. We would have died if we'd have done anything more advanced than this. But we did the family fun session, which I thought, because it was just called the family fun session, so I thought, we'll just have a little prat around in the snow. Maybe have a snowball fight. Maybe make a snowman. There was no snowballs, no snowmen. They put us on sledges. Tiny little sledges that I think, if we weren't wearing sturdy trousers, may have got inside us.
Yep.
Yeah. They were ever so small. But we got there stupidly early again. This was a bit of a theme of the day. Got there too early, wandered out onto the snow, and they sent us back again because we were far too early.
They told us to stand in the black zone, and we were like, is that out here? Is this the black zone?
Yeah,
like,
there was no black zone.
This Mardy guy like marched us back in and was like, the black zone. The wall has a black square on it. And we were like, okay, but it doesn't say the black zone. He's like, we call it that because it's black there. And we're like, okay. So he was like, go get a coffee or something. So we went and got some, you got hot chocolate,
well,
didn't you?
I got hot chocolate because I was in the Alps. Yeah. It was an Alpine cafe. And I figure if you're in the Alps, you have to have hot chocolate. So I had a lovely hot chocolate. Of course, I was sweating my nuts off by this point because it's the middle of July and we're there in coats, helmets,
you were so
gloves.
Overdressed.
I got my water. I bought a pair of waterproof trousers, my big waterproof boots. I very much looked the part. I looked like a professional skeesman.
I love how, because you obviously control what you say on the final video, but you're like, oh, Sheepdog thought he'd be fine in jeans. I was fine in jeans. I had the smallest wet patch on my ankle.
They did like some suspiciously large wet patches around sort of back.
That wasn't from the snowboarding.
There was nothing. Like there was no like leftover patches or anything like that. I was fine. I left that place like, okay, I expected to get wet in there. That was fine. I don't even know.
He was wet.
But I was worried on our way in. When we finally actually got in, it was like, they said, oh yeah, your group's going in now. And it was me, Kev, like a mum and dad and their two little girls, and then two lads who were just there together. It must have been about like 10. And the boys were just straight up and down constantly in a loop nonstop. The family were trying to have family time and taking it a bit easier. And then it's just me and Kev. And I'm thinking, I really don't want to mess with their day, because I know we're just going to film ourselves going down the hill a few times, get knackered. Probably, I was convinced I was going to drop my sled and it was going to roll down the hill and I was going
to
be stuck.
I did at one point. I got to the top and it kind of got away from me and I managed to grab it with my foot. I actually sat there for a split second as it rolled away from me thinking, what do I do now if it gets away from me? Do I just follow it down? What's the protocol?
I was watching you thinking, when that rolls down without him, he's going to make me bring it all the way up to him and then I'm going to have to slide down so I can film him again. And I was just standing there thinking, he's just going to make me do it and I'm going to die of climbing up this hill.
Oh, God, that hill for not a very large hill. I don't know what it was about it, but it's quite, to the naked eye, looks like quite a gentle slope. I just think the thin layer of snow on it makes it really tiring.
I
was out of breath by the time I got, the amount of layers we were wearing, but I was panting when I got to the top of this slight slope and then sliding down it. I mean, it was fun, but I have realised I'm not very good at getting up off the floor in the snow.
I don't know why mine kept veering off to the right either. Like,
because you're an idiot who can't steer.
He told us to steer, put your arms out.
No, he didn't.
I'm sure he did.
He said, before you steer, stick your arm out to show which way you're going.
Oh, right. Okay.
And you took that as, if I hold my arm out, I'm going to magically turn in that direction.
How did you steer then? Just turning it?
Yeah.
It had
a handle on. You know how you turn a car?
Well, that's a steering wheel, but you know.
Yeah, well, it's the same. How do you turn a bike? How do you turn a scooter?
Yeah, but they turned. This didn't move. It was under me and it would...
You didn't try and move it. You stuck your arms out thinking it'd move itself.
I used my feet to change direction in the end, which slowed
me down. That works as well. Mm. I mean, by the way, then there's no levelling out of this slope when you get to the bottom either. If you don't dig your heels in, you are smashing through the glass at the bottom because it just goes straight down. So I'm glad that stopping did work the way he indicated that it would work. But I had some real issues that, again, came back to possibly me being too overdressed and having too much gear, because my jeans that I was wearing under my waterproof trousers, as I was going up and down the hill, bending up and down, getting onto the sledge, sliding down the thing, my jeans started to come down over my bum. So they're like half down my bum. And therefore the crotch is like halfway down to my knees. So, and they're quite tight jeans because I'm a sexy boy. So I wear quite tight jeans anyway. If anyone's ever worn a pair of quite tight jeans where they're sort of 3 inches lower than they're supposed to be, it's quite hard to move your legs the way you want to move them because you've got the crotch of the jeans in the way. And I couldn't pull them up because I had the waterproof trousers on over the top. So I got there to the bottom of the thing, tried to stand up, and my legs wouldn't open. So I went to stand up, couldn't open my legs. And it's like, well, what do I do now? I can't get my, if I can't separate my feet, there's no way I'm going to get my balance. So I got part of the way up and then just kept going forward and fell over like a tree that had been felled because I couldn't open my legs to steady myself.
So can I just say, that sounds just a long-winded way of saying you just fell over. It's fine.
No, but I kept doing it. I could not. Every time I went down the thing, I could not get up because every single time there was no way to get my legs far enough apart to get any kind of balance. By the time I'd mastered the technique on the third run, it was very much a case of, as I'm falling forward, just try and go with it and run it off. But even that's quite hard to do if you can't open your legs properly. But I did manage to stay on my feet the final time.
It's really weird that we've been on many journeys together, many adventures, and this is the second time one of us has an issue with their trousers falling down the whole time. We don't plan very well. We need to buy better belts, suspenders and all of that.
Well, my trousers, on the whole, are fit for purpose, but I don't sledge test them usually. Now I know that I should.
Well, that's it.
Yeah.
Oh, God. We always learn new things about trousers on our journeys.
Yeah, you can be damn sure my trousers are getting sledge tested from now on. So, you know, we've one good thing has come out of this trip at the very least. But it was great fun. It was very cheap as well. I don't think I've mentioned that. It was only £10 a person for a half hour session. We only needed 15 minutes each because as Fuller figured, older gentleman, we were done after 15 minutes. I think if we'd have pushed it to another 15, injuries would have occurred.
Yeah, oh, definitely. But I think their family ticket was also even better. Like, if we'd have been a family of three or four or five or whatever, I think up to five, it was like £30 instead of, say, the 20 that the two of us cost. So that's value in itself, isn't it? If you know, someone like me who's got a family of five, being able to take them there for that would have been great.
Yeah. And you get the gear all provided, the helmet, they can lend you a pair of gloves and stuff as well, I think they said. And they've got, I mean, even to buy the gear is relatively cheap in the shop. It was like £20 to buy a helmet, which I really wanted Sheepdog to buy a helmet on the way out.
You just reminded me that I made a man think I was calling him a meathead. We were trying on a helmet. I was calling myself a meathead and he thought I meant him. And he just made this noise like, what? And I was like, I'm a meathead or something like that. And he just went, oh, and I thought, God, I'm so glad I've figured out what to say because he was just not happy. We were trying to get big helmets for our heads. He'd made a comment. I was talking to Kev before I was talking to him. That happens to me too often.
Stop talking to me. Fine.
Fair. Stop calling people meatheads then, I guess. It's probably another way around.
And then we had one more thing planned on our itinerary, which was to go to Campbell Park, which is just a nice big park. We were going to fly the drone around a little bit. We were going to have a little bit of a stroll, walk off our sledging injuries and have a lovely old time. And we followed the sat nav to get to it, pulled in to the entrance to the car park, and the gate was shut on a Sunday afternoon in July. So the middle of the summer, the most family of family days, and they've just shut the way into the park, which I don't really understand. We'd driven past the park itself to get to the car park entrance, and the park itself was full of people. So it's not that they weren't letting people into the park. There was lots of people in the park, but the car park was gated off, and it's not like it was full and there was a man turning people away. It was one of those big swing shut gates that was just shut and locked, and we couldn't get in. So I don't know if there's a secret.
Well, we
additional
tried a second
car park.
One, didn't we? We tried a second entrance that was also closed. So
yeah, it's bonkers. Weird. I don't know why it was all shut off. So I guess if we'd have really, really, really wanted to go and touch grass, we could have done. We probably could have abandoned the car. I mean, it's not far from the city centre. We probably could have abandoned the car at the other shopping centre, which the last time I went to, I bought an Oasis CD. That's how long ago it was since I last went to the centre of Milton Keynes.
Wow.
So we could have done that.
I think you just wanted an excuse to go where we ended up because you very quickly come up with an elaborate plan to drive us to the Watford Gap and stand in the north and the south and stuff like that.
I'd been thinking about it all day. I knew we had to come past it on the way home, sort of. I knew we sort of had to come past it on the way home.
Was there much of a detour?
Yes.
No more than like it. Yeah, it's fine. But we went to the Watford Gap service station and we both had a lovely time jumping back and forth between the north and the south. I recommend that to anybody who's ever going in this kind of area. I imagine, I haven't looked at a map, but I think Milton Keynes is probably the closest city to Watford Gap services, which is why we had to do it now, because there's no way I was traveling around this entire country and not going to the north-south divide. And this seemed very much like the day to do it.
Is there an east-west divide?
If there's not, we should create one. I mean, to be fair, it could, if you're including Wales as well, which I don't know if you are including one, but if you're including Wales as well, it could easily be the same place. It's kind of...
They're missing a trick. They could have that point in the opposite way.
I'll tell you what, on the topic of north, south, east, west divides and stuff, this isn't part of Best Thing From. I went there. Sorry, Sheepdog, I went somewhere without you. I've been in Sherwood Forest this weekend and I stayed in a part of Sherwood Forest that was the population average centre of the UK, where whichever direction you faced, there were the same amount of British people in.
Interesting.
That Whoa. Is a cool place to be.
I'm going to Sherwood Forest in a few weeks without you.
Oh, you need to find that place so that you can be, I forget the exact terming of it, something like the average population centre is the official terminology of it or something along those lines. But yeah, I thought that was really cool. I can add that to my collection with the North-South Divide at Watford Gap, the lowest point in the UK at home. And I'm just collecting all of these weird, unique places. I don't want to go to the top of the highest mountain or the middle of the biggest city. I want the weird geographical places that I just like. I collect them now. Apparently, I've got three. So I guess that's now a thing.
You do need to find an east-west divide point, though. That needs to happen.
There must be a thing. Hold on, I'm googling it now. There's got it right. East. I mean, the problem is the people of the east and the people of the west don't have a particularly strong dislike of each other like the north and the south.
No, disagree. Those westies are pretty awful.
Yeah, agreed.
If you Google east-west divide, you get a picture of the Berlin Wall.
Okay.
So it looks like we're going there, boys and girls.
Yeah. I think it's been knocked down, Kev, if I'm being honest.
No, I've been there. I've seen it. I've seen cool graffiti.
Now we know. We're off to Berlin, everybody.
Best thing from Berlin should happen, for sure.
Yeah, well, it's got to now, because, you know, we've done the north-south, now we've got to do east-west. And I think the good people of Berlin will love us for going in there and really drawing attention to that.
Debating which is better, yeah,
exactly, jumping back and forth across the line, going,
I'm pretty sure we were
at the north-south. It'll be fine. There's no reason why we shouldn't do that. But yeah, I was pretty disappointed in the rest of the service. If we are doing a service station review, and I think we should, I was a little disappointed with the rest of the service station. They had an average WH Smith. The McDonald's order machines weren't really working properly, so I couldn't get myself the coffee that I wanted. And the toilets weren't the best toilets that I've ever been to. Some of the above your urinal adverts for the sort that I've been seeing in service stations for several years. They need to keep up to date with their reading material. Give me something new.
You think they'd have like a whole thing about the north south, like have northern food and southern food, and then like
we actually thought they hadn't really acknowledged it at all. It wasn't until we were walking back to the car that was like, oh, there's the sign. Right, okay, now we'll go and be idiots in front of it. But it wasn't a big deal. I'd be doing merch and everything, but nothing.
Half and half scarves, north, south.
Absolutely. I would have bought a half and half scarf. Love them.
Can I just point out that it looked more like you were being an idiot, Kev, rather than Sheepdog on video, because you had Sheepdog just sort of go back and forth once, and you did a whole song and dance routine through it. I was having a very nice time.
Not only had I had all that, I'd been there the year before and already done it. When we went to Centre Parks last year, I took that same detour home and made Anna come and look at the sign. We had Dave in the car and everything. We were like, come on, we've got to come and have a look at this. Come and look. North and South. Was Anna impressed? No.
See, I at least took a photo of it, although I took all these photos and then was like, my phone was just going nuts. I sat there the rest of the journey home trying to figure out why none of my pictures had turned out the way I'd intended them to. It was like there was some weird thing that ruined them. But I'm glad I went there. I feel like Kev, I can cross it off my list.
Absolutely. And on the topic of the urinal information, if Jeff Bezos is watching, and I assume he probably is, if there's a way for me to, as I walk into a service station, it log into my Kindle account magically, the way you do in your Amazon stores, where you don't have to actually pay for stuff properly, you just wander around and leave with what you've got. I want it to be a camera on the way into the service station that logs me into my Kindle account. So when I go and stand above the urinal, it loads up whatever book I'm currently reading. Just so I've got something interesting to look at, because some of these adverts have been there for years and I'm done with them. I need fresh stuff. And I think you're missing a trick there, Jeffrey. So, you know what to do. That's Kev's patented Kindle toilet idea that I think has legs.
On that or Amazon Prime as well.
Balls to Netflix. I want to read. I don't want to watch stuff while I'm holding my tinkle. I want to read.
Yeah, subtitles. Watch stuff as well, yeah.
Yeah, well, I've got culture unlike you two monsters. I love to read. If there's one thing you've picked up from these podcasts now, it's how much I love to read things.
And I don't. I don't read things. I just assume.
Exactly. Right, I think that brings us to the end of our day in Milton Keynes. I forget the protocol these days. Do we announce the best thing from, or do we leave it to the people?
I think we leave it to everyone else. But I will say, I expected Milton Keynes to be just awful and sterile, and I don't know the reputation it has. I expected to hate it, and I really enjoyed it. So
without getting too deep into what's coming up next month, we did Cambridge and Milton Keynes in consecutive days,
and listeners, this is just me talking to you because I don't want any. I think I preferred Milton Keynes. I think I had a more enjoyable day at Milton Keynes than I did in Cambridge.
But you'll find out why next month when we do the best thing from Cambridge. But yeah, let us know down in the comment section what you think the best thing from Milton Keynes is. Anyone who says, the road out! I'm not even going to block you. I'm just going to shake my head at your pathetic unoriginality.
Yeah, that joke's old, guys. Yeah, come on, please.
Exactly. Topher's doing this to make my camera focus on my face. No,
I'm just trying to get your attention to make yourself get yourself back in focus, because you're going to be on screen at this point.
You use your words, Topher. It's fine.
I didn't want to interrupt you. You were talking.
I just talk over you.
Yeah, never stop, sheepdog. I'm used to people just being rude.
I need to learn this over time.
But yeah, let us know down in the comment section what you think the best thing from Milton Keynes is. Let us know where you would like us to see us go after Cambridge, because we've got Cambridge for next month. We haven't yet recorded or even fully planned where we're going the month after. So we do need to start making plans on our next trip. It probably won't be Berlin, but it might be Berlin. Who knows?
I'd love it.
Make sure you leave a nice big thumbs up on the podcast version on YouTube if that's where you're watching, because we're struggling to get the YouTube podcast side of things off the ground. So big thumbs up will help on there. And if you are listening on a gramophone or whatever you do, if you're not watching the video, make sure you leave a nice review and 5 stars and all that usual podcast stuff. Subscribe to the channel. And come back next month for Best Thing from Cambridge Week. And don't forget to watch the videos in between as well. They're great too.
Yeah, 3 or 4 times if you can.
And share them around to all your friends and family or people you don't like. Just share it around to them.
See you next month, boys and girls.
Have a good month.
Bye.